Well, it's been quite a week here at Westgate. When I think of Missions Conference last Sunday, and then the Monday was the Young at Heart, and Wednesday was Club DJ, quizzing, and the life groups, and then Thursday was the Halloween alternative that took place here. So it has been a busy and a really, really great time here at Westgate. And we've seen over the week many different people, part of some that are a regular part of Westgate and others that aren't a regular part of Westgate, come and participate in the events that were taking place. Over the last number of weeks, I have been leading us through a study of the book or the letter to the Hebrews. And I've been focusing on chapter 11. The original recipients of this letter were struggling with their faith. I think it's very applicable to us today because many of us struggle with our faith. They had sacrificed much in embracing Jesus. They were wearing out, though, emotionally. They were about ready, we could say, to give up, and they wanted to turn back to their old beliefs. So that's the letter written to the Hebrews. And I'm going to ask you once again to take out your Bibles. If you're using an electronic Bible, we have changed the Wi-Fi through the building. It's a little bit easier now. So what you're looking for is WAC Guest. That's what you're looking for now. So simple. And it doesn't matter where you are in the building. It's WAC Guest. And the password is exactly the same old password. Serving Christ. So that's what it is, and I believe it'll help us when it's the same throughout the entire building. And it'll just move through the building as you walk through the building. So as you get your Bibles out, I want to remind you that after this morning's message, that we'll be invited to participate in communion. And there's three communion stations. And so I want you already to keep that in mind. And I see at the back doors the benevolent fund offering plates. And so just to note that. So you got your Bibles open. I hope you're open to Hebrews chapter 11. And the person that brings us our faith example this morning is Noah. Hebrews chapter 11, one verse, verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. That's a verse we're going to look at this morning. As we begin to look at this verse, and as we think of Noah, who is listed in Hebrews chapter 11, this great faith chapter, I'm reminded, or I came across a comment made by Oswald Chambers in My Utmost for His Highest. And he said, faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. The life of faith is not a life of mounting up with wings, but a life of walking and not fainting. Wow. So Noah, we find Noah in the Old Testament. We have one verse here in Hebrews chapter 11, but the whole story takes place in Genesis. Genesis chapter 6 to chapter 9. Three chapters in the Old Testament are dedicated, we could say, to Noah, Noah's life, or the part of life that we need to know about. And Genesis chapter 6, it begins in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. It says, when human beings began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, and this is the verse kind of there we focus on, and we're going to look at more yet. But then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. At this moment, my spirit will not contend with humans forever. That phrase right away should indicate to us there's a problem. There's a problem between humans and God. We continue on in verse 5 to 8. It says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, 'I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them.'" Verse 8, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." This morning, we're going to see six aspects of Noah's faith. And these six aspects can be a part of our faith and should be a part of our faith. So the six aspects of Noah's faith, it begins with the first aspect, the seeds of faith. God's grace. The seeds of faith. God's grace. You see, the heart of God is seen in these first verses in Genesis chapter 6. You got your Bibles open. Look at those verses. They introduce the events of Noah. But the words there that help us to understand God's heart, his mercy, his grace, are found there in the verse that says, "The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled." Other translations use the word grieved. The Lord was grieved that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. God grieved over his creation. His heart hurt for them. He wanted the very, very best for us. He created us perfect. He placed us in the garden, a beautiful, beautiful place, a perfect place. But we failed. We made a choice against God. And God grieved over us as human beings because of what he saw and the way we started to chase after everything but God himself. And so God said, "That's it. In 120 years, I'm going to destroy everything. In 120 years, if humanity doesn't repent, that's it." You know, this reminds me so much of a parent. A parent who notices all of a sudden that what they asked their child to do, they're not doing. And the parent says, "Okay, I told you to do it once. This is twice. And you better watch out when we get to number three." Sometimes even parents just start. They look at their child and they give that look and they say, "One, two." And all of a sudden the child jumps up and starts moving. You know, when I think of this, that's kind of a picture I get. But even along that, I see God's grace and his love and his mercy. And we see that throughout the Old Testament. The right away what comes to my mind is Jonah. Nineveh was a city that was just, it was grieving God's heart by the decisions they were making. And God sent Jonah to Nineveh to bring a message so that Nineveh would repent. And Jonah went to Nineveh and walked through Nineveh, and he was not a happy camper as he walked through Nineveh because he knew that when the people heard the message, they would repent. He said, 40 more days, and Nineveh repented. God said, 120 years. 120 years. And at that moment, Noah saw the unseen. When Noah heard God's warning, Noah believed. The seeds of grace and mercy were captured in Noah's heart. The second aspect of Noah's faith is the certainty of faith, confidence and assurance. Hebrews 11 verse 7 really bounces us back to Hebrews 11 verse 1. where it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Noah could not see the future, but he believed in what God had said. He took the words of God and he embraced them. And those words, those first words, those seeds of grace and mercy that started to grow in Noah's heart, of course, led to a relationship. And in that relationship, God spoke to Noah. Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 to 17. What did God say to Noah? So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening, 1 cubit high all around. Put a door on the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under heaven. Under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. And Noah embraced those words. Our faith connects us to the words of God. And as our faith increases, so do the words of God that we hear. I believe that as our faith increases, our sensitivity to God's word increases. And that's why we hear God more frequently. And Noah heard God's call. Noah, I want you to build a boat. And I can just imagine Noah for a moment. A boat? You know, can you imagine that? A boat? And God, you know, said back to Noah, yeah, I want you to build a boat. I want you to build a big boat. Not a boat for one person. I want you to build a boat 1.5 football fields long and 1 football field wide and 45 feet high. Well, I don't know if he used football fields, but I thought I'd throw that in there because, of course, the Rough Riders have made it all the way to the Western Finals. So, anyways, you know, like, and I know your mind would go there, so, you know. But it was a big boat. Just think of that football field. 1.5 times and it was wide. And, you know, just think of that. We're talking about a big boat. We're not talking about a little boat. We're not talking about a boat that Leroy Jethro Gibbs builds in the basement of his house in NCIS. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a boat that would cover a city block, 2 blocks, maybe 3. That's what we're talking about. A big boat enough for many. And yet God said he was going to destroy everything. In that big boat, I think in Noah's mind, there must have been a seed of hope. And I think as much as God said he was going to destroy everything, Noah was grasping on God's grace because God said, build a big boat. And the boat was not by the seashore. It was miles and miles away. What a ridiculous thing. It's really like somebody building a boat in their basement and thinking they're going to get it out the door somehow and take it to a lake. That ridiculous. But Noah did it because God told him to. He couldn't see the end results, but that's faith. That's faith. The third seed or the third action of faith of Noah is that of proclamation. The actions of faith, proclamation. That's the third. So there Noah is, and I believe there's a seed of hope in Noah. And in Noah, there's passion and compassion for others as he's building this boat. I believe that. Can you imagine the turmoil of emotions in his obedience as he began to understand what God was really saying and the sacrifice that God was calling him to? I think sometimes we struggle with that too. We look around us and we see the mess of this world and we struggle with it. And then we hear the cries of others that say, if there was a God, why wouldn't he stop this mess? And in our hearts, we have that same feeling. And we wrestle with this. And I think Noah was struggling with God. The guilt that must have been growing in Noah's heart as he realizes that he might be the only one on that boat. The shame. In 2 Peter 2 verse 5, Peter writes there and tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So I imagine Noah as he's building this ark, people are dropping by to see this structure that's being built. People probably post on Facebook, you got to go and see this. It's huge. It's a boat in the middle of nowhere. And probably people got by, you know, after they read it in Facebook. And they probably take selfies of themselves with Noah and the boat behind them and post that. And more people come. And the people ask the question, like, why? Why are you doing this? And Noah says, God told me. And God says that if you don't repent, if we don't change, if we don't acknowledge God as God and worship this God, that's it. Everything is going to end. And I would imagine that maybe Noah even had a huge countdown calendar. 120 at the top. And then just, you know, and maybe every day he climbed up and crossed out, or not every day, every year, climbed out and crossed out another year. Judgment. As much as the ark was big, Noah knew it could not hold everyone. Some would die. Some would spend eternity in hell because they didn't embrace God. Others, he hoped, would embrace God, that they would believe and change their ways. I imagine as people came and went, there would be the jeers and the silly stuff. They would say, Noah, you're deluded, you're crazy, nutty Noah, you're a lunatic, and stuff like this. Today, somehow, people get things twisted up too. And it's the same thing that happens when we try to live for God and we stand out like sore thumbs in this world. When what we hold to is so countercultural. And people say, if there was a God, why wouldn't he stop this stuff? Why wouldn't he stop the wars and those things? And it's hard for them to understand. It's because of our sin. We're the ones who's doing it, not God. And Noah then would say, God cares. He loves. He loves. And because he loves, because he cares, he wants to wipe out all sin. It's because of his care. It's because of his love. And then Noah would say, it's your choice. You either believe or you don't. You believe and participate with Jesus, or you reject Jesus. It's up to you. I would imagine even Noah went to the labor ready or to the manpower or employment agency, and he would every day pick up new workers. And the workers would come and he would tell them about what God was doing. But he would see the workers leave again, void of faith. The fourth, the fear or the reverence of faith leads to obedience. Again, in Hebrews 11, verse 7, it says, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, He condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. When warned about these things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. In holy fear, that's what the NIV says. If we go to other translations, we see the word reverence appearing. It means that Noah built this ark with seriousness. And as each piece of timber that he placed on this ark, he placed it there knowing that God is God and God's decisions are going to stand. As much as God's mercy and grace have been extended, the people still have to make a choice. It was serious. That's what it means, holy fear or reverence. It means being serious about God. And so I don't think Noah took any shortcuts in building this ark. He used the best lumber because he knew that it would be used. It would have to float. His life depended on it. And he grew in faith and walked closer and closer with God. That word, holy fear, again, it doesn't mean shaking in our boots. It doesn't mean fear of punishment. What it means is that I obey Jesus because I'm so thankful for his grace. Reverence. It means that I want to, in every way, out of deep, deep gratitude, do that what Jesus wants. That's what it means. And it spills over into life. You see, it starts in the heart, to the mind, and then to the hands and to the feet and the mouth. It says that he built the ark to save his family. Can you imagine doing nothing to save your family? It's sad, but that's the way I see some Christians act. Maybe they're praying for their family, but they allow their children and their relatives and close friends to live as they please. I think that they think that is loving, that that's the thing to do, but it leads to hell. You know, I just see Noah as a man of such passion. I see him as he's building that ark, praying on each piece of lumber he puts down, but I see that not only is he praying, but I believe his family heard that message and they knew that Noah believed it because of his actions. And as he told others as they came about God, I think he told them about God's love, that irresistible love, but also that God is a God of his word. God is true. He doesn't change, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The fifth aspect of faith, of Noah's faith that we see here, is the results of faith, the invitation. It was by Noah's faithfulness to God's word, by his faith, that he condemned the world. That's what it tells us. Isn't that interesting? This concept of condemning the world by our faith. Have you thought of that? That we condemn the world as we live for Jesus. By Noah's faith, he was condemning the world. When we live for Jesus with all our heart, we are condemning the world around us. You see, that's why we get persecuted. That's why some people stop being our friends. That's why some people might call you, you know, holy roller or weird or something like that. Too spiritual for me. You're nuts. You see, when we declare and live according to Jesus' words and his character is exposed in our life, it exposes the sin of those around us. When we love people, all people, and desire their very best. When we talk positive about people and we want to introduce them to Jesus, we will offend some people. Some people will say, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. When you say to someone, I believe in traditional marriage and I'm going to pursue that, you're making a statement that's going to offend some people. When you say to someone, I'm going to invite that person from that country to come to church and I'll love them and their children, even though they misbehave and don't seem to fit in, you might upset some people. But we're told to do that. We're told to bring the gospel even to our enemies. When you say to someone, I'm going to take the Bible at face value, I'm going to order my life accordingly, and live valuing every life, even the unborn. When you say, I acknowledge God as creator, and that he made humanity as male and female, you'll find that you're making statements countercultural, and you're going to be in trouble. You don't intentionally want to do this. After all, we're Canadians, right? And we like to be nice people. We like to be tolerant. We want everybody to love us. But the scriptures tell us that we are foreigners, aliens here on earth. That when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are now citizens of a completely different country. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. And now our allegiance to that country becomes evident in the choices that we make, in the words that we say. And there was Noah. And that's exactly what he was doing. And you think it's tough living right now on the standards of the Word of God. Imagine Noah. Everybody was against him. There was nobody that stood with him. And so the sixth aspect of Noah's faith is the gift of faith, which is the righteousness of Christ. Because you believe God and His Word, and this is manifested through obedience, you receive the righteousness of Christ. That's what it says. Hebrews 11, verse 7, just go right to the end of that. It says, by his faith he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness. He inherited. He was given a gift. It's not his. It's not yours. It's not mine. We're not righteous. No. No, what happens is the righteousness of Christ is bestowed upon us. And so he received that righteousness. God loves humanity. He does. Again, we go to Peter, and the question is, so why does God wait so long? Because he wants all to come to know him. His heart is hurting for us, his creation. And I think he wants to embrace us like Nelly wants to embrace us every Sunday morning. He loves us so much. He gave his son. And he'll give us unlimited chances until our end comes. And so it's never too late. It's never too late. And that's what this communion table speaks about this morning. The communion speaks about his love. That he paid the price. His blood, his body for you and I. And he cries out. Just like we as parents cry out to our children, or as a grandparent who spent time with his grandchildren cries out and says, you know what? I forgive you. Let's do it again. This time, listen to me when I tell you to do that. And it goes good for a while. And then it starts all over again. And again, Grandpa says, that's okay, Max. But listen to me. And God says, I'm here for you. So let's take a moment. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. Just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you those areas of life that need to be changed. Ask. You probably know those areas of life already because the Holy Spirit, it's called the conscience back there, has been nibbling already. And you've silenced it. You've pushed it under. You've covered it up. You've put heavy things on it so that it wouldn't raise up. But yeah, you know. Ask forgiveness. Declare that you want to live. You want to live like Jesus. You want to live the Jesus way. You want to reflect Jesus. You want to follow God's word. You want to be obedient. Declare how you want to live. And then know that you can't do it. But God says, I'll give you a comforter, the Holy Spirit. Ask the Spirit to be poured over you, to fill you. Be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Cry out. Say, I want you, all of you. I can't do it on my own. Maybe you've been trying too hard to do it on your own. Let me pray. Father, we come before you. And Father, I want to thank you so much for your love and your grace. And Father, that you are there to not just forgive our sins. You're there to love us, to guide and direct us. Father, you care so much for us. Father, this morning, speak to us. Father, we acknowledge our shortcomings. We know we've sinned. We know, Father, the mess and the messes. Forgive us. Forgive us. Father, help us. I want to walk with you, Lord. I want to be like a Noah. I want my words, my mind, my heart, and my actions all to line up with your righteousness. Oh, Father, this we ask. Father, as we go to these communion stations, I would ask that that we would be so strongly reminded and that this would be a commitment towards your love and your grace. Father, I want to pray for those that go to these communion stations that might be sick, that might be struggling with illnesses, working through long-term recuperation. As they partake, Lord, may they experience your healing, not just emotional and mental, but physical healing, Lord. Father, we go back to your word, and it tells us by his stripes we are healed. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He paid the price for us. And not just spiritual healing, but physical healing. And so we claim that. We thank you for this. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. I want to invite you to go to the stations. And as you go to the station, as you take the bread, be reminded, this is his body broken for you. As you take the cup, this cup is the new covenant in his blood poured out for many. Take the bread, take the cup, step away from the communion station, maybe move back to your seat, and then partake. Go ahead. The worship team will lead us.